Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody, on this beautiful, snowy New Year's Eve. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Stride Up. Chuck and Julie Show brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. First, this is the confluence of a party Friday and New Year's Eve. So we thought if you've got a toast, go ahead and we're drinking the really good stuff. Okay, we're drinking the really good stuff here.
$1,000 a bottle.
Sort of. But if you want to go ahead, we'll do this again later on. But if you have a glass now, I know Leo, you're always prepared. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year's,
Happy
everyone!
Party Friday to everybody. It's not bad, actually. A lot. I mean, I say that because it was a little
$1,000.
Well, $1,000 bottle. You never know what it's going to be.
As a practical matter, this is how long Julie has been in television. How many years? What, 40 years? She says, we can't drink on air. I said, we can't drink on air. This is her own podcast.
It's our basement.
It's our basement. What the hell are you talking about?
The FCC has no control over us. So who knows?
We can't drink on air.
And they certainly can't get after you. A lot to talk about today. We have a Democrat strategist, a.k.a. sort of Soros, Ted Trimpa, joining us. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to, Leo, I was a dollar too short to buy that bottle. Yeah. Oh, that would have been free then, Leo, because this bottle is not much more than a dollar. $1,000. Anyway, Tim Smith is going to be joining us. Guys who've listened to our show know Tim Smith. He knows everybody. Tim Smith is sort of the handyman to the stars. He's got a restoration company.
Very successful.
But he and his son Jackson, who's just a year younger than Rev, are a fellow rugby fans as well. And they were in Louisville last night. It ended up being evacuated along with the entire town of Louisville and Superior. So we'll be talking to him about that.
That's a lot of people evacuated. I mean, I think Louisville these days is around 20,000 or 30,000.
Right.
Superior's 10,000. That's a lot. Right.
And I think the last count, they're saying over 1,000 homes burned in that fire. So we'll be talking to them about that. And I think Peg Cage, your favorite,
who has a great hacienda in Boulder County. And she took some great pictures of the fire that got published internationally. So we'll have her on.
All right. And so let me see, because I know I see some places or some folks up on the Zoom thing. So Ted was going to join us by Zoom. Hey, Ted, are any of these people, sometimes it doesn't really say Ted. Are you there, Ted? And if you are, go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your camera on. Do we have Ted yet? Maybe not entirely. So Ted texts me. He was like, or I text him. He said, he's at New York. His partner, Arash, who I used to work with at Fox 31, who now is a producer on the Greg Gutfeld show. And he teased Arash, although there's probably some truth to this. That's one of the reasons Gutfeld is doing so well. He is at the Met in New York, showing Arash's parents the Met. And I'm like,
is the Met open?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Don't be sure.
Well, that's true. They closed down everything. Yeah. And Sanders is really like Arash. We all like him too. Okay. So Thomas is trying Ted, but didn't reach him. But what we wanted to talk to Ted about, as you know, he's a Democrat strategist, and wanted to talk to him about why everybody hates Biden and why the Democrats suck so bad. Oh, just kidding. But that's what we want to talk to him about.
And while notwithstanding all that, are the Democrats greatly favored in Colorado in 2022, which has there are a lot of reasons for that. But we'll get his perspective, which is always one of the most brilliant.
Ted, analysis. For folks who don't know, Ted, I mean, he would not probably agree with this, but he kind of like runs the Democrat Party behind the scenes, Ted and other Teds.
He runs your life.
Yeah, yeah, which means that he runs our life now. But Ted is, though, what's great about Ted is, number one, I think he's really good and he enjoys talking about the strategy of things. And also, he's honest for the most part. Sometimes when Republicans are doing well, Ted is not totally honest. And that's how you can tell. He kind of sounds like a consultant when he talks. And that's when you know that they're worried. We always
tell you just plain truth and how the Republicans are sucking, then you know he's telling the truth. But it's always fun. He's always brilliant.
So well, we could do while we're waiting to get Ted. Maybe we could do a quick. Want to do the movie review? Because this is kind of fun.
I want to join Ted in that, but we'll get him. Well, part of that. This is our movie review segment, which you may have missed because we've never had one.
The first one.
But I was up at a friend's house with a lot of fellow Trumpians. And several of the guys going, have you seen Don't Look Up? It is the funniest movie.
It's on
ever.
Netflix.
On Netflix. I said, oh, well, gosh, who's in it? Well, Meryl Streep's in it. And
Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence.
And it was written by David Sirota, or co-written by David Sirota, who's a, yeah, those are all far lefties. And they go, we know, but it's still hilarious. And so we watched it the other night. Goes over 2 hours. It's getting just bombed by critics. Critics hate it. Just hate it. 55% on
that. Well, here's the thing. Oh.
But audiences, close to 80% of them love it. So what is? So we watched it, and I understood everything. It skewers. It's intended to skewer Trumpians.
Yeah.
And you and me and all those people on the right. It's supposed to mock, make fun of, as satire often does, it boomeranged. And so it's hilarious as a satire of the left. And none of the reviewers get that. Nobody
the people who wrote it don't get it. No. Here, let me read some of these comments are pretty funny. Leo says, Ted is looking for his Let's Go Brandon shirt. He wants to make a big entrance. And then the name of the movie, it's called Don't Look Up. And it's on Netflix. You have to watch it on Netflix. So here was a premise. You got a bunch of these lefties who got together and said, we need to make a movie because no one is paying attention to the climate change. It's about to kill us all. So they say, they recognize that if they say, we're making a movie about climate change, people will be like, I'm not going to watch that. So instead they make it about kind of like Armageddon. I know all of those movies about a comet that's going to hit Earth, right? Only the two scientists in it who discover this, Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, some spoiler alerts here. Okay. So, no one believes them, or they go to the White House. Meryl Streep plays the president hilariously. She's kind of like a drunk floozy. It's like she's got a.
She's Hillary Clinton when Hillary was younger and better looking.
They talk about a Supreme Court nominee who's actually a porn star, and this is kind
and
of a scandal.
And she's sending pictures of what herself, they say, her
now.
Junk.
Yeah, of her junk to this. And so this is all. Okay, thank you, Thomas. So give me another call. And Charlene says, you heard the movie acknowledge the blow to bureaucracy that it all can be agreed on. It's more than that, Charlene. So, but again, these lefties are so blind in their wokeness. They think that this is going to be making fun of Trump supporters who don't believe in climate change. When all you have to do is look up and see we're going to die any minute. Instead, it makes fun of it's like a wag the dog. If you've seen that movie, it's a total parody, but it skewers all the elites, the political, media elite.
They've got
the reporter who's the interviewer person who looks a lot like that. What's her name? Mika Brzezinski.
And what's his name plays?
Don Lemon.
It's really Joe Scarborough. The actor is black, but he's got the same glasses.
And so here's these media people who are just idiots, and they're squeezing the legs of the people they're interviewing. And it's a total parody. And like, it makes fun of all the Democrat elites. Now that wasn't their intention, but that's what it came about.
And at the end, it basically is all there is at the end is faith and family. Now the left doesn't believe that at all, right? But that's the message that they inadvertently have at the very end.
The message that they inadvertently give you is that basically the political and media and celebrity elites do what they want, totally take care of themselves and enrich themselves and leave the rest of us to deal with the freaking comet that's about to hit us and destroy life. And meanwhile, they have their spaceship that's going to go off and save them, so they don't actually care.
It wasn't written about the coronavirus and all these phony politicians going to Costa Rica or down to Florida or wherever else. But it's an exact analogy to that, where they don't plan to have these awful events affect them. They're going to escape them all.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're having trouble reaching Ted. Well, it is New Year's Eve in New York City, so we'll keep trying on that. But it is funny, and I wanted to say, so this, I don't know if you guys saw what happened with AOC today, but this perfectly explains the situation. So AOC, who is, I'm sorry, and now she's complaining that the only reason people are attacking her is because they want to date her. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? Anyway, AOC, who is basically was a bartender who is now enriching herself and her boyfriend in Congress, you know, is part of this, you know, she's supporting the lockdowns in New York, small businesses are closing, or you know, people have to wear masks, you have to have vaccine passports, destroying businesses in New York. All the rest of the people have to wear masks. There are pictures of her out there today, partying, drinking either a martini or a Cosmo in Miami with her boyfriend, neither one of them wearing a mask. So that's...
Now, she's always talking about people of color and how she's a person of color. So, you know, I have Italian relatives that are darker than she is, but her boyfriend is about as pale skinned as myself, red hair. He's got shorts on. He's, you know, showing his incredibly untanned legs, and he's about as much of a person of color as, I mean, her boyfriend is the ultimate.
But it's the perfect example, and we'll read the comments here in a second. It's a perfect example of what this movie skewers. You've got people like Ocasio-Cortez telling everyone else in New York, all the regular people, that they can't go out unless they have a vaccine. The restaurants can't open. Everything has to be closed down. And what does she do? She goes to Miami with the hated Ron DeSantis, where it's totally open, and parties on the beach
with
her boyfriend without a mask. That's what the movie does, is it skewers the elite, and it shows exactly, I mean, it's sort of like what Trump showed us. I think Trump was the one who showed the emperor has no clothes. And that's what this is. In the movie, they show how, like, they have competing celebrities singing songs about look up, don't look up, because you can see.
Well, they mock the music industry. They mock the people in the music industry. It's just hilarious.
But they're whining because no one gets it. It's about climate change, or that they're whining because the Trump people like it and think it's funny. And
well, they don't know the Trump people, but what all the, you know, movie reviewers are 99% lefties, and so they're always going, I didn't like it because I don't believe in climate change. I do. I vote that way, honestly. But they got who was being skewered, and it was them.
Right.
And they don't know why that's hurting
complain. They're complaining that it makes female presidents look bad. I'm like, oh, okay. Really?
I mean, it's supposed to be Trump.
She sent naked pictures of herself to the porn star Supreme Court nominee. I mean, it's hilarious to watch. But like I said, if you watched it without having read any of the reviews, you would think, oh, this is a great, funny movie. It's a lot like I said, like Wag the Dog, right? Kind of very much a parody, but this is.
I know that, you know, reading and literature and all that is so passe these days that the kids who go to school don't get to do it very much, and obviously none of these reviewers did. But what it's very much like is Gulliver Travels. Gulliver Travels skews the political establishment. It skews it. It makes fun of human beings, and it is incredibly similar to Gulliver's Travels in that sense. Now, Gulliver's Travels was published in 1726, and the people he was skewering were like King George I and the Tories and the Robert Walpole and some other historical figures from that period. But when I read it in sixth grade, I didn't know it was about King George I or Robert Walpole or who the Tories and the Whigs were. And I found it hilarious because it just... it made fun of what humans are. And that's what this movie is. I mean, it doesn't matter. It won't matter 10 years from now whether it's about Hillary or it's about Trump or anything else. It's making fun of humans and the human condition. And that's why I think this movie is going to last for a long time.
And it's kind of like the Wag the Dog, where it skewers the political elite. And it underscores the fact that they don't care about us. They have their spaceship to get them out of there in time, right before the comet smacks the rest of us, and they let their own selfish interests get in the way of actually solving the problem. I mean, that's been the political thing forever. Hey, just a note, Chuck, to you and then to TJ, the producer. Laura Laurel Eimer, congressional CD7 candidate, is running some fundraising and doing some organizing for the victims of the fire. And so she's going to be calling in. So Thomas, okay, if you get a call from Laurel here, that's what that's about. Yeah. So just on this Fun Party Friday, and I know I'm seeing some comments that they're not sure if somebody says they can get it on the various channels, Vudu.
Well, you can look up how to watch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's on Netflix, and I imagine it'll be going someplace else. But it is kind of funny. If you read, the Denver Post had a couple of stories about it today where the critics were whining, saying, wait a minute, how come Trump people think this is funny? Don't they get that it's making fun of them? And it's like, no, don't you get it's making fun of you?
Well, but Trump people, I mean, let's face it. That's what you have. Comedy shows, three major channels every night
that no one's watching.
That no one's watching, but it still just makes fun of Trump people. And I'm a lawyer, and so I've heard a billion lawyer jokes. And so lawyers have heard a billion jokes. And we don't take offense because you're just so used to it. Well, that's what Trump people like. You're so used to being, you don't care. I mean, you're a big deal. But the left have no sense of humor. None.
Well, that's
right. And that they're getting skewered, even unintentionally, they don't get.
They don't get. Well, and it underscores also the fact that the left have no sense of humor, zero sense of humor. And because in part, in order to have a sense of humor, I think you have to have an ability to laugh at yourself, right? Right, right. And the people on the left have such giant egos and are so, I don't even know what the
self-important
and smug that they have no sense of humor. They don't get that. You know, sometimes you have to poke fun at yourself. And so I really do recommend it. I thought it was going to be, and then first, here's how I would recommend you do it. Watch it and just see what you think. And then go ahead and read all the lefty critics like whining and complaining about it and saying, well, if they'd done a better job, they didn't make it clear it was about climate change. It's like, because climate change is not the equivalent of a comet hitting the earth and destroying all life in 6 months.
Satire is satire.
No, but that's what they were trying to point out.
I know they're dense, but they can't quite figure why no one gets it, because it's a universal. Once again, in sixth grade, I didn't have to know that King George I was really the emperor of the Lilliputians. I really didn't. It didn't make it any less funny to me, the way the emperor acted and his pomposity and everything else. So, you know, it doesn't matter what the event, a lot of people thought it was about COVID, and it's a good analogy for that, but it's a good analogy for anything because it makes fun of the human condition. And Sandra wants to know, does it have a happy ending? Very happy.
Very happy.
Very happy.
Sandy, and you're on the right track there. In case folks want to watch it, I don't want to tell you what happens. There is a very kind of creepy, let me say this, money interest enter, where you have a very creepy guy, kind of like Bill Gates, enters the scene.
Or Jeff Bezos, or all these
billionaires, right, who have their own escape pod, basically, so they don't care that the planet's about to get destroyed. He's in there, and maybe Monday we can talk about, if people watch enough, we can talk about the ending. But I don't want to spoil it for somebody who...
Well, somebody else... brought up
Charlene.
Charlene brought up Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, and that's true. That's another good analogy.
But it also is, again, you look at the Ocasio-Cortez, you look at Nancy Pelosi closing down hair salons and everybody in California, and then going in without a mask, you know, having her hair cut when no one else can. It's like the Obamas having a party in the middle of the Delta variant outbreak, and they have a massive party where at the Met, where all of the people doing the waitressing and all of those people
are bound and gagged.
Are bound and have to wear masks, but they don't. I mean, it's a typical thing. And I would say, here's one thing too, sort of on a serious note, what we always have to remember is it's good to point that hypocrisy out because it opens people's eyes, right? And I think that's what's going on right now. But the other thing that's kind of interesting about it is they don't get that we care. I think they get that they're being hypocritical. They just think the rules don't apply to them. And why does anyone think the rules apply to them, right?
No,
but they don't care that the rest of us were about to be hit by a comet. Oh, we may have to move the dogs. Do care. You can keep talking while I move the dogs.
They don't like that comet hitting Earth because it means their dog chow is not going to last for very long. They'd be going down with us. But it's a movie. Somebody suggested we have a Book of the Month club and movie club. The Book of the Month, we might be able to get away with finding a movie once a month that is funny and well done. I just looked at the list of 2021 best movies. And, oh, my God, that's it? The Green Knight, that's it. That's as good as it gets. I mean, it's amazing how little in the last year they put out that's even tolerable. I guess I enjoyed Dune, but wow, it's amazing stuff.
We need a book club and a movie club. There you go, Charlene. Although I get to pick the movies.
Let me tell you.
We can have.
I mean, you know, opposites attract. She loves the junkiest, worst redneck movies.
Only the top box office gross. You know, the gross people that bring the most. So me and the rest of America.
Her taste is utterly abominable.
No, it is not. See, Sandra is with me. And from Charlene.
Pass the champagne.
Right, as long as it gets the point across that the ruling elite do not care about the people. Charlene's with Chuck. There you go. So me and Sandra, we can make it clear which one of us is doing the review. Okay, I'll give you a little bit more of this. You know, actually, we can maybe turn to something kind of serious now. And while we're waiting for Ted, my guess is that we have a snafu with the time difference. That would be my guess.
You think Ted would know that one? But anyway.
Can you imagine Ted blowing off the Chuck and Julie show to the Met? TJ,
let's get a hold of Viraj.
If you want to, he's doing the show. If you want to go ahead and maybe try to get Tim on the line right now too. So wanted to talk a little bit about the fires last night in Boulder, in Marshall, and in Louisville. I'm sure you all know about that. And I don't know, I think I saw Peg join the show. So Peg, if you want to unmute yourself and turn your camera on too, we can maybe share some of those pictures that you got. I was watching it at first. Let me say this first of all. All of these whiny people on Twitter were saying, see, this is climate change. I'm like, no, it's not climate change. It's like, hey, Peg, you lived in Boulder. I remember when I first moved here from Chicago, the first Chinook wind episode, which happened sometimes in the winter, I thought it was a tornado. I'm like, why are the tornado warnings not going on? And somebody explained, no, those are just Chinook winds and they really blow. So while it was devastating and while yesterday it was horrible and they were really strong winds, you've lived up there. Is this the first time is this climate change that we're dealing with here, Peg?
I've lived in Colorado since 1970. And when we first moved here, we moved into Table Mesa right at the base of the mountain. Yeah. And I remember our picture window in our dining room blowing in about 4 inches. Yeah. We had a great time. My brother would take me out. He put his great big wool pea coat on me and take me out and fly me in the wind.
Climate change is, I mean, here again, once again, with the left, it's like any excuse. If it doesn't snow, it's climate change. If it does snow, it's climate change. This devastating fire is because of climate change. And then they're saying mean things like the rest of you, we're all going to die now because of climate change.
I played in a law school tennis tournament. Which isn't exactly Wimbledon, but we had to play the finals, and I had to play the finals that day. And we played at about 90 an hour winds, which is a most hilarious tennis match there ever was. I mean,
on the golf course yesterday here. Yeah. Hey, Tom. Thomas, I think what we're going to do, I'm going to do a little bit of make sausage here. Let's go ahead and save Ted for another day unless he calls in or joins us on Zoom. And why don't you go ahead and call Tim Smith then now too? But so Peg.
Well, now we know Peg for her many great efforts with the Republicans and making Colorado a better city. But now she's an internationally credited photographer.
That's right.
Did some great pictures. And maybe you can share those with us.
Yeah, tell us about what you saw and what the pictures you took.
So this picture is what we saw going into town about 5 o'clock last night.
Wow.
And that's just, my daughter took it as we were driving along, but that's Louisville over there. It's really awful.
It was Louisville.
And then this is the one that was shared. My daughter shared that. We took that by Weld County Road 1, and that's over Longmont and at the end of Yeah, so it was a huge fire. It was
now to give folks some, because I've been trying to explain to other folks too that
you're looking west.
You're looking southwest. But is this east or west of US 36 or on both sides?
36 kind of runs right through that from Boulder down to, you know, to the highway down here, I-25 out here.
Right.
So that the one of the first things that burned was the Costco right on 36.
I saw
how
that.
How dare they do that?
Yeah. Well, and you know what's unusual, and I think while this is, and I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. Well, this is, and Peg, you know this area better than me. A lot of the attention, first of all, just it was devastating. Maybe over 1,000 homes burned. Yeah. It just swept through so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And what's getting attention is this was not in the mountains. I mean, they're describing it as a suburbs, which it is. On the other hand, though, am I right in that a lot of the, it's not as if it burned downtown, like it, you know, at 6th and Monaco in downtown Denver. I mean, these are, describe the area and what happened and why it happened.
Well, the first thing that happened, I heard, was the electric lines went down and the sparks started the fire in the Marshall, I think, open space area. And the winds were 100 miles an hour. So I don't know if you saw any of the Gateway Pundit took a lot of the Facebook posts from around here and actually has them on Gateway Pundit. So you can see, but it looks... They had to explain that they did not have the film on fast forward. I mean, they were not speeding up the, it looked so horrendous. It looked like it was actually happening in, you know, fast forward film, but it was 100-mile-hour winds with these storm clouds that were actually smoke and everything blowing through the neighborhood. So it was just awfully frightening. It was just terribly frightening. I had a friend who said that she was caught down on Highway 36 and showed pictures of her trying to drive along there.
Wow.
She couldn't see anything.
Right. Well, so, and it is, am I right in that the last we heard is that although some people were hospitalized, for the most part, I mean, I don't think there were any fatalities, or were they, or I haven't heard.
They don't know for sure yet, mm-hmm. Julie, but there were people who refused to evacuate.
That's
so
smart.
Hopefully they'll be okay. But, you know, that's always dangerous.
You know, and normally what I've used to covering, like with forest fires, I've covered many of them. It crowns in the trees, and that's how forest fires can spread so quickly. But this, it sounds like the fire was burning and let me back up. I remember covering years ago, the woman who started the fire over there by Ken Carl Ranch, the Forest Service person. One of the things was she started burning, the fire got out of the fire pit. And I think people don't realize, just without any wind even, how fast the fire travels. It traveled way too fast for her to. So if it's blowing in 110-mile-hour winds, it's just...
Well, the sparks would be
good. The sparks and everything. Right. I mean,
and we haven't had any rain here, so everything is just tinder dry.
It's snowing right now here in Westminster.
We're getting a little bit up here. We're getting a little bit of snow. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, the whole town of Superior, the old town Superior, burned down.
I know, it's sad. Hey, listen, Peg, I'm going to ask you to maybe kind of maybe take your camera off for a second, because we do have Tim Smith with us, okay?
Absolutely.
And then we can come back to you. This is from, it was an electric line that was cut loose by the strong winds. The electric company should have cut power when the winds are over 60 miles an hour, like they do in hurricanes. Mm. I bet the electric company gets sued and then has to raise their rates to pay for all the damage. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have Tim Smith with us. Tim is our friend. Tim, I was trying to figure out how to explain you. And I'm just like, you know, everyone who's anyone. But last night, you sent us a picture of you and your son Jackson, who's just a year younger than Rev, at the evacuation center. So first off, thank you for your time. But how are you guys doing?
Hey, Julie, Chuck. Hey, Chuck, did I ever tell you that I'm proud to be your friend?
Well, thank you. I'm proud to be your friend.
As well as Julie. You know, so I was in Denver about 2:30 when I received a phone call from a friend of mine that told me that Louisville was on fire, Superior, and they evacuated the town. So I'm rushing home to get Jackson. He's home alone doing his computer. We stay in contact with computer and phones. So he was unaware what was going on. So it took me about 2.5 hours to get here. And by the time I get home, I just packed him up. I grabbed him. I grabbed my Green Bay stock. And we headed over to the shelter at the YMCA. Now, when things like this happen, I don't need a government mandate. When I see fire and smoke that close, you don't have to tell me to evacuate. And anyone that refuses when the government tells them to do so, I understand certain things, but you shouldn't have to be told to evacuate when it comes to fire.
That's what the Boulder Sheriff Department was tweeting, which is always good advice. It's like, if you can see the fire, evacuate. Don't call us and say, should I evacuate? Well, let me ask you, how was your place? Did your place survive or?
It's a little bit two miles away. So I am, I'm in Louisville, a little closer to Lafayette. So I am probably 2 miles away. So the wind was blowing northeast instead of northwest. So I'm northwest of the fire. So I'm on South Boulder Road. So the fire did not cross South Boulder Road in our area. So we didn't have a problem. But they did evacuate the hospitals because of the smoke and the water contamination. So the order to evacuate was because the wind could have shifted and easily engulfed our area.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think when you've got a fire moving that fast, you're absolutely right, Tim. It's like, just evacuate, right? Take what you can and get out of there, because if it comes up, I mean, it can change. I've seen that happen so often. It can change in an instant.
As an old fire marshal, I can tell you what the fire doesn't
destroy. Well, not only that, whenever you have a fire, folks don't understand that the buildings and houses, they're built with toxic materials.
Yeah.
So you know, formaldehyde inside the wood and things like that. So when you're that close and you have the ashes, you have the smoke, well, a lot of respiratory problems. So that's why the elderly, particularly in some of the long-term care facilities, have to be evacuated, because it's not only the fire is damaging, it is also the smoke. And what's in the air, the ash, can actually cause respiratory problems and can kill you. So when you're that close to a fire and you're breathing in, that's a problem as well.
Have you guys been able to go back home, or are you still?
No, we came back. We came back a little bit before the order was lifted. They kept us away because of the water's contaminated, so we don't have fresh water. They were concerned about that for a while, so they wanted people to, if you go home, boil the water and take those precautions, not even brush your teeth with the water, don't use it for food, and just make sure you're safe. So boil the water or use bottled water. So that was one of the big concerns. With the fire and the after effects.
Just so you know, too, some of our listeners are saying, hey, good to know that you and Jackson are doing okay and are safe. Well, let me ask you about this. I remember covering years ago, it was like the million year flood in Boulder, where you had places in downtown that were like almost in downtown Boulder when there was that massive rain and it was flooding. And I was standing there and like water knee deep was kind of coming, pouring through the town of Boulder. And these people were like, I don't have flood insurance. I don't live by a stream or a creek. Or in a floodplain, I would imagine that folks like you, in a million years, would you have, if you live in the mountains, I think that's something that you have in the back of your head, at least, in a million years, would you have thought you were spending, December 30th, 2021 evacuated because of a wildfire?
Well, I never would have thought of that, but I've always been, because we're pretty close to the mountains and we're pretty close, so you can see them, but we still have a lot of open space. And the area, we still have a lot of farms. So I always thought that possibility it could happen, because when I moved to Denver, when hearing about the wildfires, and then when I moved closer, I did think about possibility. But you always think there would be the woods and the bushes. I never thought there would be the homes that would burn. Over 500 homes burned. I never would have thought of that. You always think the woods, the trees, and the farms. But never would you think that would engulf neighborhoods in that manner.
Can you maybe describe, because I'm glad your place is okay, and it sounds like you guys were just a little bit east of where the really bad areas were, but did you see anything? Can you kind of describe what it's like up there?
Well, I haven't seen any of the devastation because they have everything closed down. You really can't get over there. So they wanted to there. But when I was at the shelter, you can see the fire. You can actually see the embers blowing. That's how close it was. So I believe I was closer to the fire at the shelter than I was at home. So where my pictures, some of the pictures I sent you.
Right, right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we had said, hey, if you guys want to come stay here, you can. Jackson has, spent the night here before you're welcome. And you said, no. And I really appreciate this because this is the kind of guy that you are, Tim. You're just like, no, I'm going to stay here with my community and support people. So how are people... I mean, sort of just talk about what it was like being there last night and today.
Well, heading home, I was on 287. So they routed us around to 287, the Baseline Road. So I had to go around and then come back to get into Louisville. But during that time, now there's our jam packed. And guess what? I ran out of gas.
Oh, no.
I ran out of gas. Stopping the traffic. No one's blowing the horns. No one's cussing me out. No one's giving me the finger. I had to walk across the street, fortunately, buy a gas can, get some gas, put it back in. People are stopping. Can I help you? What do you need? That's different from normal time. If it was normally a situation, everybody would have been cussing me out. But this time here, everyone was just so helpful. Do anything you're willing to do to help me. Furthermore, you mentioned about you and Chuck offered me to stay with you guys, which is fantastic. Also get a message from Senator Rhonda Fields, Casper Stockham, Stephen Tubbs, offering assistance for me in Jackson. So that was a plethora of messages. Even my friend who's out of town, she heard about it, and she offered me to live in her condo. So I had about 8 offers.
Wow.
Stay at someone's home, including you and Chuck and Rev, which it brought tears to my eyes, how many people were thinking of us. And texted me up until 11 o'clock last night, making sure that
everything was, did we lose you? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Hey, well, listen, I mean, it was a little alarming. You know, my daughter is out of town skiing, and her home in Arvada was kind of on the edge of the pre-evacuation area. And so I was like, I'm keeping an eye on it. And I mean, she wasn't close or anything like that, but it is alarming. So, hey, listen, a final kind of thing. I mean, anything else? Cause Tim, you're just a great philosopher kind of guy too. I mean, any other thoughts before we let you go and deal with all the stuff you have to keep dealing with?
Well, you know, one of the things I never experienced, I always heard about other people dealing with situations like this, but never been involved in one. But what I saw at the YMCA is a plethora of individuals and citizens bringing food, bringing oxygen, bringing respirators. That was food. There were maybe 100 people inside the YMCA. We had food for about 500.
Wow.
That's how much food was there. The clothing, the bedding, the pet food. I mean, we may have had more pet food than we did human food that people donated. So we had almost as many volunteers as we had individuals displaced.
Wow.
So that's how good it was. It wasn't, like I told Stefan, that it wasn't really roughing it because we had everything that we needed that folks brought in. So I've been camping, but I had better accommodations there at the shelter.
All right.
Were people allowed to bring their pets, dogs, cats, everything else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, come on, this is Boulder County. Come on, you know that.
Yeah.
They had a special rule.
And they were taking them. They were taking them to Longmont and things like that. I guess one of the good things is in Colorado, you do have the emergency response teams that know how to, I mean, they usually are in the mountains where they have to respond to it, not in Louisville, but they
Think, you know, what surprised me is how quickly the Red Cross was there. How quickly where are these people at? Are they just laying around as molded, waiting for things to happen? But the response was so quick and so swift and so organized. I just couldn't believe how organized it really was. So there was no shouting, no pushing, no shoving. Everything went really, really smooth considering what the problem was.
All right, cool. All right, well, listen, we'll let you go. We're glad you're okay.
Yeah,
and we'll
great
be.
To talk to you.
That's right. It's right. I feel bad. Tim, like you guys fixes everything. I was going to call you because I need my cabinet fixed. And I'm like, kind of puts things in perspective.
You know what, Julie? So, I will walk through fire to come fix your cabinet. You know
there
that.
You go. All right, Tim. Thanks, you.
Tim.
Say
good
happy
to
new
talk
year
to you.
You. Happy new year to Jackson.
All right, folks, we'll do. Julie, I'll see you soon for your cabinet.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to know. It is, it was just something. And I don't know. I think Laurel Eimer may be calling too, because they're doing a fundraiser. I mean, when you think of it, this is what I was just thinking. And I guess to wax poetic a little bit, I was a reporter for a long time, and on a weekly basis, I would talk to people whose life changed. They got up that morning and had no idea how different their life was going to be at the end of the day. You know, it's one of the reasons, no matter whether I'm mad at you or, I mean, I always make sure to say, I love you before I leave. I know, even though there'd be no reason for me to be mad at Chuck, say in some theoretical world. But anyway, and that's what I was thinking, these poor people in a million years, if you lived, you know, in Old Town Superior in a million years, I don't think you would have thought, you know, yesterday morning that your whole home was going to be destroyed in a wildfire. So anyway, just that. Do you want to go ahead and talk about, I mean, we were kind of going to talk today too about you guys and your merry band, including Peg Cage, worked hard this year. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Maybe Peg could come back on if she'd like to.
Because you know, I don't know, 2021, I think, particularly if you're a Democrat, was not the year that you hoped for. But if you're a Republican, it was everything you feared and then some. Yeah. You know, it's like, are we shocked the Biden administration is incompetent? Are we shocked that 2 years later we're still wearing masks? You know, are we shocked that AOC is making everybody in New York City wear a mask and close our business while she parties maskless, drinking Cosmos and martinis in Miami Beach? No, we're not shocked. The Democrats are. But one of the good things is, and I'm just so proud of you guys, Chuck and Peg and Anil and Ben and Joe, I mean, and all of you and the people who helped. And I mean, and a lot of it was support from the
Jimmy Mack,
a lot of it was support from the folks who listened to us. We're able, I really do think, to have an influence on the Republican Party in Colorado. Maybe you guys, you didn't get everything you hoped for. Maybe you only got little pieces of what you hoped for, but it's not over.
Well, I'll just give a quick review. Back in 2016, the Democrats got a referendum passed statewide, which said that the Republican Party, as well as the Democratic Party, had to keep open primaries. That means when you choose your candidates, you would, in fact, have to allow all unaffiliateds to be able to vote in your primary. And it was said it was done to attract more moderates. Well, you know, I'm not sure the world needs some more. But as Ted and those guys are behind this, they didn't mean more moderates for the Democrats. They just meant they wanted to squish down Republicans. They didn't want to have any real conservatives. Now, similar laws, but slightly different, were adopted in Utah and in California. Both places have found unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So the only way we could, and since 2016, the state has gone deep blue. We've, as they predicted, as they slaughtered Republicans. Right. And now that they slaughtered Republicans, they're now taking over the Republican Party. They're
the fake Republicans.
Fake Republicans. That's all there are. If you go to the Principles of Liberty and see their scorecard and compare it to 2018, it's shocking how far left the Republican Party has gone. Right. So the one out they allowed because they had to, because in
it
the other states,
unconstitutional.
Yeah, it's unconstitutional. They found if you mandate it, you can't do it. So they made it almost impossible. You had 75% of all your central committee with everybody voting.
What they did is they made it really difficult for the party itself to overturn.
Almost impossible. Right. We've spent an entire summer traveling the state, getting support to try to overthrow it, and we caused enough consternation because, quite frankly, the wealthy donors to the Republican parties, who are themselves moderate, were ones also behind this one. They wanted
the
open primary to shove out conservatives, be sure that we didn't have any conservatives in the Republican Party. Right. So we actually brought it to the thing. We got enormous support from the...
You brought it to the internal Republican Party Central Committee.
It was about 520 members. We met down in Pueblo. But we also got the part of the leadership, the vice chair and the secretary to support it. We got enormous support from Dave Williams, from Tom Tancredo, and everyone else.
Ron Hanks.
It was just a tremendous one. So by the time we got to Pueblo, the moderates and the left were panicky. So Phil Anschutz threw everybody he could against us. We had the Denver Post screaming about us. We had the Colorado Independence Institute, who claimed to be conservative, screaming at us. We had editorials in the Denver Gazette owned by Phil Anschutz, by Colorado Politics. And in the end, and Christy Burton Brown was working in the background to destroy everything
Peter Boyles.
Yeah. Well, Peter, but right. You'd expect Peter almost.
Yeah, Sandra's pointed that Peter Boyle screaming at screaming you. That's at right. Us. But get to the good part.
Well, but at the end of the one, everybody felt that, hey, they'd really opened our eyes. And so they unanimously in 1-1 and another one, just one person objecting, said, yes, we want the party to join as a party to it, and two,
a lawsuit,
and two, create a fund mechanism where you could give money to the Republican Party for it. So after that, Christy Burton Brown and Chris Murray came up with, no, we have to get an opinion from the FEC that we can give the money. And then we,
blah, blah, blah.
They sent the letter 3 months later and everything else. But on Lincoln Day weekend, we're going to have an incredible announcement that the lawsuit is going to be filed. We're going to file
challenging the open primary.
All the work Pega did, I did, everyone else did, and we're going to have an enormous event up at a location to raise
money.
Soon
to be determined, or soon to be announced.
Soon to be announced. But this is incredible. We've managed to, in fact, hire some of the best lawyers in the country, and if this works, if we win this lawsuit, and there's no guarantee we will, but if we do, it will change Colorado. We will no longer have a left-wing Republican Party. The Republican Party is quickly heading, because all the Democratic money is coming in on the open primaries, to a really just a Democrat light party.
And let me kind of go through this. So number one, so the folks who are, if you're on chat on Zoom, go look. Peg Cage just put out her website, and Peg, I'll let you say that in a second. But if you're listening on the podcast or listening on Rumble or Podbean, it's mycoloradogop.org. And then Sandra says, is there a funding where we can help with the attorney's fees? Yes, Sandra. Chuck was on a conference call last night where they were setting up. We'll keep you posted. But Peg, yeah,
let me finish. We're setting up a send, give, go site because the we cannot go GoFundMe because they would stop us. The left and the establishment Republicans would uproot it. But we found a site and we'll give you the page and we're going to watch this grow to a victory where we can really be proud. And I have to say, the person who really helped start all this is Peg, right?
Right for Peg, here. Hey. So what do you think of all of this, Peg?
I'm really glad. Of course, Chuck's right. We did a lot of work on it. We put a lot of effort into going around the state and trying to tell the Republican Party chairman and people who had a vote at the Central Committee. We tried to tell them that this opt-out was our, I thought it was actually providential, because if we had voted to opt out, it would have removed the Republican Party from the open primary and also from the primary. We would have had to figure out a way for the Republican Party to have their own primary nomination process, which, you know, several of us did, and Chuck did, and Ben did. And
very similar to Virginia, who did the same thing.
They did it in Virginia.
But what you're saying is you think it's good it came out the way it did.
No, I think that it would have, well, for me, it would have been better if it had come out that the Republican Party would take responsibility for their own membership role but they let it go to the state. Unfortunately, the state runs a questionable election at best, and we don't know who's voting in our primary. We know that the unaffiliateds actually outnumber us. So if they wanted to, their candidate would be the one that the Republicans, quote unquote, put on the primary ballot.
Right.
And we don't have a chance to follow our bylaws if we're not able to put forth a candidate that would support our bylaws and our platform.
Let me just say this, because you guys spent so much work on this. And here's what I think, because I know sometimes you guys, I could see you get discouraged because you didn't have the votes. But what I say you guys did, in spite of everything thrown against you, is you were a massive grassroots influence on the establishment Republican Party. And you forced them, I believe, to at least let you have the lawsuit. And I think they thought you would all go away and lick your wounds. And instead, it's like, okay, you want a lawsuit? Well, we got your lawsuit. And you guys listening, we're going to need all your help. We're going to need everybody's help for the funding for this. But that is, if you're thinking, okay, how do I stick it to those establishments? Well, this is one of the ways
the best way,
because it's out there. And, and I think, Peg, you guys were able to be a force. The grassroots became a force that they've been trying to stomp down, that they had to reckon with. And not only that, but you showed clearly how much grassroots support there is out there.
Right. Well, and we did get the unanimous vote for this lawsuit. And this lawsuit is awesome. We've got John Eastman, the guy who was involved with the original lawsuit in California. He's one of our main lawyers. So they're just resurrecting the same lawsuit that they brought and won against California. So we're pretty sure that this is a good solid lawsuit. Information about it is at mycoloradogop.org, and I put a little icon with a gavel on it. Just go to that link, and it shows you how you can donate to the Claremont Institute. And that is a tax deductible donation that you can do to
We're going to ask people to hold off for the moment to Claremont because they're having some problem with their funding page. So we're setting up our own one that goes to Claremont.
Never mind. I would say that it'll directly go to the lawsuit. Well, Peg,
we'll have it on there as soon as we get it, though, Chuck. Yes. So My Colorado GOP is the website to watch.
Let me know. We're kind of running out of time, but I mean, I just think it's going to be a good year. 2022, I think, is going to be a good year.
Real quick.
Okay, Peg, it's going to be a good year. I'm going to let you go because we have Laurel Eimer
with us. Peg.
Thank you, Peg. Hey, Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Julie. How are you?
We only have about 3 minutes, but want to get you on. Laurel is a congressional candidate for CD7, has been doing a ton of work. We just think you're great, Laurel. But back to the Boulder fires, you guys have some stuff going on. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we are collecting donations currently at 3 Jeffco locations. We're collecting at Faith Baptist Church of Lakewood, which is at 2000 Quail Drive. We're also collecting at Dirty Dogs Roadhouse in Golden on West Colfax.
All right.
And we're also collecting at Ingram Auto Care in Arvada off of 52nd and Yukon. And so we have the hours posted at LaurelEimerForCongress.com underneath our press release tab. You'll see the list and the hours of those donation sites. And then people can reach out to me directly or to our campaign in any way by email or by phone. If they just link to our website, they can call us for more information. We're collecting right now. We've got a couple delivering an entire truckload of water, dog food, toothpaste, you name it, we've got it. Hundreds of items already, and we've got other locations as well.
Now, are some of the fires in Joe Neguse's district, or would they be in CD7 or both?
Well, they were right on the edge of CD7. The evacuations late last night did touch into CD7, into the top section of Jefferson County and then Broomfield County. So it's right on the edge of our district, and we have a lot of people affected that are, you know, that we know very well in these districts.
Okay. And the one thing I want to say, Laura, I'm going to give you all the credit in the universe here. So we have not seen the actual congressional representatives at Perlmutter, right? Or Joe Neguse do anything except tweet their sorrow and prayers. Oh, thanks.
That's right.
But you, a candidate, are doing everything. And I just really want to give you credit, Laura, because I know how hard it is for candidates to raise money. And for you to take time out from your campaign, not that I absolutely no doubt that you're the kind of person who would do this, right? You wouldn't even think about it. But I just want to make sure people understand that you are saying, don't give money to my campaign. If you've got money to give right now,
today is our last day to fundraise for our campaign for the quarter. And so it's a very important fundraising deadline that we're up against for ourselves. But this is more important. The people are more important. And that's the point. And that's what Washington is missing. They have forgotten that the people of the district are the people who are important. It isn't about me or anybody else. It's about those people. If you can't elect a person who can see that, then you're going in the wrong direction.
There you go.
No, Laurel. Go. So that's why we support you, Laurel. And again, you know, thanks, Ed.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thoughts and prayers. But hey, thanks, Laurel, for the actual help that will go to people who need it.
Great job, Laurel.
Right.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
Like I'd say LaurelEimerForCongress.com or on our Facebook page, Laurel Eimer for Congress. You can get all the information there. Reach out to me anytime, day or night, by phone or by text. All that information is there on the website where you can link to our email if you have questions or concerns, and you know, reach out to us and we'll get you linked with as many resources as we possibly can.
That's
all right, Laurel, you're tremendous. Thank you for what you're doing. Hey, and happy new
thanks,
year.
Thanks, Chuck.
Happy new year.
Happy new year to you. All right.
All right. Thank you. And again, I just kind of want to underscore that, guys, the importance of that, because the support she gets from all kinds of places depends on her fundraising. And I'm sorry, I haven't heard of any other candidates or the actual representatives taking time out from their fundraising for themselves to raise money for the people who need it. Go watch that movie, Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
And
see some of the politicians there, and you'll see Ed Perlmutter and you'll see Joe Neguse.
Right. And I think if you're living in CD7 and wondering who you would vote for, and I mean this sincerely, I would just remember this day when Laurel Eimer, and they called us and said, hey, can we talk about this? Right. She didn't call and say, hey, can I talk about my campaign? Can I do this? And well, she didn't tell me to ask.
We'll have her on next week to be able to talk about
that. She just wanted to talk about that. So, hey, we won't see you until next year.
Yeah,
as Rev says.
But
so,
we want to give you a toast and thank you for all listening and being part of our community. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you to everybody who listens on Zoom. Thank you to the folks who called in and Peg, and also to Laurel and the great folks at BBS. A special toast to them.
Yes,
you guys do a great job. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you in 2022.
That's right.